Creating cultures of thinking, the 8 forces we must master to truly transform our schools. Author, Ron Richard. Have you experienced a culture of thinking? Over the years, we've asked thousands of people to reflect on the cultures of thinking they have experienced. One of the most common responses from groups is that in a culture of thinking, there is a sense of purpose to the learning. Having a well-articulated purpose lays the foundation for the development of commitment, both to the task at hand and to the learning of the group as a whole. It is this commitment and the recognition of the symbiotic relationship between one's individual learning and that of other group members to help create a sense of community. That feeling of community is further enhanced through a dedication to promoting equity within the group. People often mention shared leadership, valuing everyone's contribution, a non-hierarchical structure, and the leaders being a learner as important actions or characteristics that support the development of equity. It might go without saying that once you have a sense of purpose and a commitment to both the task and the group, you will also have engagement. Indeed, the idea of engagement is one that is often mentioned as people talk about the very active nature of cultures of thinking. There is a sense that one can't sit back and that everyone must take part. That might be because of another quality, challenge. People often mention that in cultures of thinking, they feel propelled by the leader and the group as a whole to do their best. In addition, they feel that their thinking is constantly being pushed. They aren't sitting back, they are learning. Together, these qualities and the practices that breathe life into them create a dynamic group of people who feel that they are learning together and create something greater than that which any individual might produce. In short, we might say that the leitmotif running through cultures of thinking is that of connection. Connection to the task at hand, to the topic, to the leader, to each other, and to the learning. The forces that shape culture. Force number one, expectations. Expectations operate as belief sets or action theories that influence our own efforts in relation to the achievement of desired goals and outcomes. In this way, expectations not only set our course, but also act as an internal compass that keeps us moving forward towards our goal. The expectations that help to shape culture are those that outline and define the learning enterprise itself, while signaling the kinds of thinking necessary to its success. Force number two, language. Language helps us to direct attention and action. However, the words and structures to make up language not only convey an explicit surface meaning, but also impart a set of deeper associations and connections that implicitly shape thought and influence behavior. This is the hidden power of language, its ability to subtly convey messages that shape our thinking, sense of self, and group affinity. Force number three, time. Our allocations of periods of time reflect our values. Our sequencing of events, construction of moments, and reflections on actions allow us to scaffold and draw a connecting thread through learning occasions to create a unity. Finally, our ability to generate, sustain, and capitalize on periods of total engagement allows us to create the energy needed for learning and thinking. Force number four, modeling. Modeling operates on both an explicit and an implicit level. Explicitly, we may demonstrate techniques, processes, and strategies in a way that makes your own thinking visible for students to learn from and appropriate. Implicitly, our actions are constantly on display for our students. They see our passions, our interests, our caring, and our authenticity as thinkers, learners, community members, and leaders. Teachers often think of modeling as demonstrating, standing up before the class to show them a process or a procedure that they want students to take on. This is explicit modeling. But there is also the modeling of who we are as thinkers and learners, our implicit modeling. Force number five, opportunities. The opportunities present will serve either to constrain or enhance the activity of both individuals and the group as a whole. Although it is possible for opportunities to lie hidden, remain untapped, or languish, in strong cultures, rich opportunities for growth, advancement, and creativity are prominent. In a culture of thinking, these types of opportunities dominate the landscape, guiding and shaping the activity of the group and engaging all individuals. Force number six, routines. Routines represent a set of shared practices that constitute a group's way of doing things. They are the classroom infrastructure, guiding much of the activity that happens there. Whether they are for management, participation, discourse, instruction, learning, or thinking, routines help minimize confusion, reduce uncertainty, and direct activity along known paths. Ultimately, routines become patterns of behavior for both individuals and the group. Force number 7, interactions. Interactions form the basis for relationships among teachers and students, students and students, and teachers and teachers. Interactions knit together the social fabric that binds individuals in one community. The interactions among and across group members help to define the emotional climate, tone, or ethos of a place. In a culture of thinking, teachers' interactions with students show respect for and an interest in students' thinking, while nurturing their development as valued, competent individuals able to contribute effectively to the group. Force number 8, environment. The physical environment is the body language of an organization, conveying its values and key messages even in the absence of its inhabitants. The physical environment of a school or classroom will influence how individuals interact, their behaviors, and their performance. It can inhibit or inspire the work of the group and the individual. Actions for developing cultures of thinking. 1. Being non-directive. Non-directive teachers share power with their students, allowing them to be legitimate partners in the conduct of the classroom. They also encourage student voice, meaning that students know that their contributions matter to the class and directly shape the lesson. Number 2. Pressing for thinking. To press our students to think means that we push, prod, and promote thinking. We don't let students off the hook with half answers or responses that aren't backed up with reasons and evidence. When pressing is combined with warmth, empathy, and support, students know that teachers are invested in their success. Number 3, supporting student autonomy. Autonomy-supporting teachers want their students to feel in control of their learning, to feel that they have the skills and abilities to direct and guide it and are hence competent learners. Like good parents, they combine high demands with support to encourage independence. Within this context, there is a bond of trust that develops in which students feel that it is safe to take risks as learners. Creating environments to enhance learning and build culture. There is much that can be done to optimize any environment. 4 fronts for consideration and action emerge. 1. Visibility. How can we make our rooms more transparent so that students can see one another's efforts? At its heart, documentation makes learning and thinking visible precisely because it is focused on trying to understand the learning process itself. Observation notes, partial transcripts of conversations, audio tapes of a discussion, a list of students' responses to a prompt, photographs or videos of learning, chart paper brainstorms, or screen capture from an interactive whiteboard are all forms of documentation. 2. Flexibility. Having flexible, easily movable, and accommodating furniture helps make a space both more dynamic and more responsive to learning needs. The key to true flexibility is to enable teachers and students to reconfigure furniture themselves quickly and without any outside help. 3. Comfort. The opportunity to move and vary one's posture certainly adds to one's comfort in a space. Beyond that, educators need to consider light, color, temperature, and noise. 4. Invitational quality. To assess this invitational quality of a classroom, we can ask ourselves some questions. What first greets me as a visitor to the space? Is this a space I would want to learn in? Is there something to spark my interest here? Does my eye have a place to land, or am I being bombarded with too much activity? Where is the beauty in this room? Does this space feel like a home for me and my learning, or does it seem to belong to someone else? Does the space feel static or dynamic? What will I be able to change, manipulate, or contribute to in this space to put my stamp on it? How is this space connected to nature and the world at large? Does the space feel authentic versus ordered out of a catalog or copied from a television soundstage? Moving toward transformation. There's no one single blueprint for how one begins the process of transforming a school into a robust culture of thinking. Every school is different and must begin where its teachers are in their practice and where students are in their learning. Although the exact steps and processes will be unique to each school, we have found that supporting successful transformation over time demands that leaders attend to 4 key areas. 1. The purpose or vision that we are striving to make a reality. 2. The tools and practices that will help us achieve that vision. 3. Facilitation of the ongoing learning required to achieve the vision and implement the tools to their best effect. And 4. The growth we are seeing in both teachers and students that will help us recognize our progress and identify our collective next steps.